So my today's subject is non-completely positive maps in physics, and first I'm grateful to the organizers for the opportunity to speak here, and also to all people that actually had lunch and instead of having lunch break came here to listen. My purpose today is non-completely positive maps from a point of view of a description of something that happens to a physical system and not why they're useful to detect entanglement or for other nefarious purposes. Since time is short, I ditch out the history, and this list of references can serve as a sort of history in a very crude form. Our paper with my two collaborators, Hilary Carteret and Karol Zhuchkovsky, is badly in need of revisions, which we're hopefully going to put pretty soon. And papers down there were either inspirational or motivational or just simply controversial and thus useful. So let me start from linear maps, and being sort of in my math part of my brain, I don't care about physics for a moment. I consider a linear transformation that preserves hermeticity. So Hermitian matrix goes to Hermitian matrix. We can write this super operator in matrix vector form by simply collating two indices of the density matrix into a single vectorial index, and therefore four indices of the super operator into two matrix indices. By a simple reshuffling, we actually can write it and calculate as a matrix multiplication. More convenient is this BST, which is a dynamical or Choi matrix, which has a number of useful properties. It's Hermitian. If the map is trace preserving, we have a nice constraint on the eigenvalues. We have additional constraint if the map is unital, namely mapping identity or maximally mixed state into a maximally mixed state. But of course, we like it not because of this, but because of the choice theorem, which states that if the dynamical matrix D is positive as a matrix, then the map which it represents is a completely positive map. And for those unlikely few who don't remember the definition, here it is. Well, that's so far math. What can we make out of it? First of all, we have an eigen decomposition of this dynamical matrix. We can have positive or negative eigenvalues. In the case where all eigenvalues are positive, we have our favorite Krauss form of a completely positive map. In general, we have a difference form. So every linear hermeticity preserving map can be written as a difference of two completely positive maps. So far, so good. But since most of us belong to the temple of the large Hilbert space, we are interested in physical realization. And again, if we dispense with questions of relativistic causality or issues of how practical a given transformation is, then anything that is written in Krauss form can be realized with having our system, our favorite Hilbert space, auxiliary space, and some unitary transformation on it. And this density matrix rho b is fixed. I mean, its initial state is fixed and independent of the states on our system. So, well, the first lesson, which is almost trivial, if we want a non-unitary dynamics, we need to extend our system. It should be embedded into something bigger. Of course, when we have a standard type of the embedding, when we have a tensor product with some unrelated, initially fixed density matrix, and we have a unitary, we are guaranteed to have a completely positive evolution. So if we want something else, or we are afraid that something else may happen, depends on your point of view and probably experimental budgets, we need to look for something more general. So one of the things that we need and a useful tool is the following decomposition of bipartite density matrix, which is valid for finite dimensional systems. And I'm going to restrict myself mostly to finite dimensional systems. It's finite form. So the general sigmas are the generators of SUD. Alphas are generalized Bloch vectors. So my reduced density matrix of rho A is given by alphas. reduced density matrix row B is given by betas, and this two-index monster gamma represents potential correlations. If my state is a direct product state, then gamma is just a product of alphas and betas. Pretty straightforward, but actually the very existence of this correlation term led to many controversies and actually sometimes even blurred the distinction where ends the system and begins the environment. And people were shouting and using somewhat abusive words in comments and replies. So, a simple-minded definition. I want a physical non-CP map. I don't care at the moment whether it's linear or not. If it's physical, it should be realizable. So I have to produce some mathematical, so at this stage, assignment map that maps my system into a larger Hilbert space. Of course, reduced state is my initial state. Then I'm applying some unitary transformation, take a partial trace, ops. If at the end I get the desired result, this putative, non-completely positive map is physically accessible. Unfortunately, this definition, maybe fortunately, this definition is trivial. If there are no restrictions, I can do whatever I want. For example, transposition map, which is positive but not completely positive, therefore considered to be unphysical. Sticking to the conspiracy theories, very well within the bounds of an assignment map, which is just a quadratic assignment map, quadratic in my initial state. If my environment is such that it is already of the form rho transpose, then a simple swap produces the desired result. Of course, that sounds stupid and too much as a really favorite story of the conspiracy theorist, but formally, it's a valid assignment map. It's a valid unitary transformation. So from here, we can draw a warning and the three conclusions. A warning, we have to put restrictions, otherwise it's boring and stupid. Conclusions. First of all, unlike what's stated in literature, if we have physically realizable non-CP map, then perhaps its domain may be the entire set of density operators. Second, replace rho transpose by whatever you want. That means anything that I write on the paper is physically realizable according to this definition. Suspicious. Interesting is I may have non-linear extension and still get a linear map. So main conclusion, careful. And then we have, and we come to two well-motivated assignment definitions. Motivated by possibility of uncontrolled interactions with the environment, we have to consider linear assignment maps. So we have our ideal state, rho A0, tensored with what we presume as environment and state, rho B0. Then they evolve, and since the evolution is unitary, now we have somewhat spoiled state of the system, and potentially the state of the environment depends, or at least correlated with it. So this is what I call as coming from interaction motivation. Still, we shouldn't underestimate the preparation procedure. Even if we don't want the stupid conspiracy preparations, we still should be ready to face a situation in which, well, qubits, as very well we were reminded several times today and yesterday, there is no such elementary particle as a qubit. Those are degrees of freedom of something else. Those degrees of freedom have a tendency to interact, and most annoyingly, in not very controlled way. So my preparation of the system may influence the environment. On the other hand, if we have meaningful chance of doing meaningful quantum information processing, what we are preparing should be close to our ideal stated goals. So a nonlinear assignment is allowed and should be considered, but it's sort of a perturbation on a fixed assignment of CP type. So the state of the environment is some fixed density matrix plus small perturbation, which may depend arbitrarily on the initial state of the system, and the same goes to the correlations. A simple example of a linear assignment, which actually is a fixed one, is of this form, 2-qubit state. I don't know what this B does here as a subscript. So we have maximally mixed environment. We have just a one-parameter correlation tensor. And from here, we already learn that there should be domains with the linear extensions. For example, this extension map is valid not for all A's and alphas. So fixing the state of the system, I fix the range of parameters which can stand in the correlation tensor. This is a very simple example which will be useful for a couple of further observations. Now, returning to physics, what may happen? I write again this bipartite state in the most general form, and now alpha, betas and gammas may be functions of the state of my system. I play the same game, almost the same game, as this construction of completely positive maps. So I split into tensor product part and into the correlation part, which is given by this correlation tensor gamma. So I get indeed a CP part and a traceless part, traceless because Pauli operators are traceless. And this is what we can call an affine form of a non-completely positive map. If the assignment is state independent, then indeed these matrices M are just Krauss matrices of a completely positive map. In general, even for linear assignment, they will be state dependent, and this matrix implicitly contains rho. Well, what does it tell us? Let's go first for another example, because I'm a very simple-minded person. I like to put abstract calculations in my papers, but frankly, I understand them only after I crack a couple of examples. So let's do a simple example. The same constant assignment, and state which, if we have a positive A, is just classically correlated, not entangled. What happens? Sometimes people think that non-complete positivity is like SARS. You have entanglement of correlations. Whatever happens, you get non-CP map. That's not true. For example, consider this U1, which is part of production of swap gate. Since it commutes with sigma I tensor sigma I, with tensors of identical polis, as what I get as a result is just a completely positive map. If I take a generalization of the rotation, or actually just some strange rotation, indeed I get the inhomogeneous term, but it still doesn't mean that I have a non-CP evolution. Only if the eigenvalues of the dynamical matrix, one or more, are negative, like in this part, only for those particular values of parameter phi, I get non-completely positive map. Otherwise, I get just a bad form of a CP map. So, correlations or entanglement doesn't necessarily mean I immediately get a non-CP map. Moreover, running simple tests, I can realize that there is no entanglement involved in any stage. So entanglement is not it's not directly related to having non-completely positive map. Classical correlations are enough. We can derive a couple of necessary conditions. First is that if our map is accessible through linear extension, then it has to be of this affine form. And the condition is quite non-trivial. I skip the proof. If we again return to the transposition map, which has a nice difference form, one of the eigenvalues of the dynamical matrix is negative, very simple, we can show that no playing with parameters whatsoever allows us to get the affine form. So, indeed, the only way to get it is this weird conspiracy way with nonlinear extensions. What's more interesting, another condition, if we have a map which has state-independent affine form and it is unital, then one line of the calculations shows that it is completely positive. Sometimes useful, surprisingly useful for games that people play with the initial conditions in quantum causal histories. Finally, nonlinear assignment. Again, we have small perturbation, environment is related to the system, and assume that it's followed by imperfect gait. This is what we actually can have if we consider, for example, one qubit operation. If the imperfect gait is still sufficiently good, so the interaction term is weak, doing simple perturbation theory and using our different forms, in particular affine form, we show that at the first order of perturbation theory, we still have linear and completely positive map. So, if we want to characterize our gates, we suspect that there are unwanted correlations, and our operations are not perfect, but still they have reasonably high fidelity, the appropriate language is still the language of completely positive map. Well, roughly that's it. Let me run through the summary before I go to the questions. So we know that accessibility is, well, interesting and meaningful definition of extension and some unitary operation. We derived two necessary conditions for maps being realizable by linear extensions. They're working. In particular, they're allowed to rule out some of the stuff. We learned that no entanglement is required, and even the presence of entanglement may be irrelevant for non-completely positive map. They may not occur. I may have entanglement of correlations and the unitary which couples system and the environment, and I end up with completely positive map. We may have non-linearity, which sometimes experimentally reported. We know that good gates should be described as linear and CP. So if we characterize the gates and we have to force our data to produce a CP map, it's not if the fidelity, overall fidelity with appropriately chosen parameter is good, it means that indeed we should look for problems somewhere else and not by extending the framework and allowing for non-CP maps. And what I didn't say, they appear in a variety of systems. Spin ecotype experiments described from the point of view of the system itself are non-CP. They appear in relativistic quantum information transformations. We can look at channels and channel capacity, which is environment-assisted, as a non-completely positive map. So this is something that should be investigated. And the questions, I just mention that we have sufficient conditions that we have to derive yet. We have to connect it to nonlinear and non-covariant dynamics and investigate meaningful channel capacities under the definition of non-CP map. Because so far, most of the analysis of the channels starts from the sentence, quantum channel is SCP map. Okay, it's fine. So what if it's not? And those are interesting questions. We hope to work on them, and I hope that some of you will be interested in them too. Thank you.